Good morning to everyone, and a happy Sabbath to all who are here worshiping with us, and those who are also viewing online on our Zoom platform. God is indeed good. Do you agree? If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Has God been good to you this week? You're alive. You're not laying in the cemetery. You're here, you're not in a hospital bed. So all of these are reasons why God is good. No matter what's happening around you, God is still on his throne. Amen? And as long as God is still on his throne, he is still in control. I want to welcome Mel. Sorry for pointing you out. And your family. Mel is part of our care group family. And if you notice carefully, she's surrounded by Bo and Barbara, so they're kind of blocking her in so she can't escape. No, that's the love and connection that's happening in care groups. And if you haven't been part of care group and you want to visit, you may have to ask Bo if you can visit. But yeah, lots of good things are happening in that space. I also want to welcome Pastor Bill. I know you might not be able to hear me, but every Sabbath that Pastor Bill is here with us, it's a blessing. So welcome, Pastor Bill. Praise the Lord. We're good to have you here with us. And I welcome all of you. It's always good to see people out when it's communion, because as I've said before, for some people, when they look at the bulletin and it says next Sabbath is communion, they plan to go somewhere else. But not so for you. Welcome to God's table today. We practice communion because Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him. And he says, in as much as you do it, you do proclaim, and that word proclaim means preach. You're actually preaching every time you participate in communion. You're preaching a sermon. Did you know that? You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we practice open communion. That means that we do not refuse anyone. If you are a believer in Christ, you are welcome to participate in the communion service. Of course, we also do what we call the ordinance of humility. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he told them that he has left for them an example and they should do the same to each other. So in a few minutes when I'm finished talking here, we will separate for to wash each other's feet, not because it's dirty, but to show each other that we love each other and that we humbly serve each other. The message today is entitled Heart Transplant. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, bless this time. The whole Sabbath day, Lord, is holy. Often we call this time the divine hour, but Lord, let's not get confused. 24 hours of this day is holy and blessed. But Lord, we ask in a special way now, in this time, the next few minutes, that your presence will be here through this message, through the voice, Lord. May it not be my voice, but your voice and the voice of the Holy Spirit only that will ring out in all our ears. We uplift Jesus, Father, and Jesus only. And we pray, Father, that as your Spirit speaks to us, that our hearts will be convicted and that you will give us the strength to overcome all things and to live our lives according to your will. Bless this time and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Let all God's people say, amen. Now, when we think of the heart, you know, people think of little drawings like this, right? If you draw a heart, children drawing hearts, that's what we think of. And next week, actually, the world will be having lots of red hearts and stuff like that as people celebrate love. Why is the heart associated with love? A red heart that looks like this. But is that what the heart really looks like? No, it doesn't. This is a picture of an actual human heart. And it's about the size of your fist. Now, there's some fascinating things about the heart. Do you know that from the time you were 6 weeks old in your mommy's tummy, your heart began to beat? And some months ago, I posted on my Facebook that it dawned on me that I've been in existence for over 50 years. I celebrate my 50th birthday next month, and you will not be able to send me cards, Helen, or text messages, because I will not be here. I'll be celebrating my birthday somewhere else. If you want to know where, ask me later. But we're talking about the heart, aren't we? From the time you're 6 weeks old, your heart has been beating ever since. But get this, but at that time, your heartbeat was about twice as fast as it's beating now. It was about 150 beats per minute at that time. By 12 weeks old, in your mommy's tummy, your heart was already working so hard that it was pumping 28 liters of blood per minute around your tiny little body. Sometimes the heart becomes sick. Sometimes it can be fixed with surgery. And the first, I have the slide here. I need everyone to close their eyes because this comes later. This gentleman right here, Dr. Christian Barnard. He was the one who performed the first human heart transplant. And guess what? He is South African. Any South Africans in the audience this morning? Yes. Many good things come out of Africa, Ben. Isn't that right? Amen. And if that went over your head, praise the Lord. It didn't go over our former head elder's head. So if you want the background, talk to me later. So yes, sometimes the heart gets sick. It can be repaired with surgery. It can even be replaced. And science even developed what I call a fake heart, an artificial heart that's made up of plastic and tubes and so forth. But you can never replace what God made with something man-made. And so the artificial heart is never really intended to be permanent. It's supposed to be just a temporary measure until a replacement human heart can be transplanted. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that all of us have sick hearts. Did you know that? And this is where we go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It's a verse that is familiar to many. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Some say wicked. Some versions say sick. Who can understand it? That's the New American Standard Bible. The New International Version says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So, the human heart is sick. And the Bible tells us that it is beyond cure. No amount of heart surgery or drugs or stents or artificial heart can cure the sickness of the human heart. Early civilizations such as the Egyptians believed that the heart was the center of human thought and emotions. And they believed that the brain was useless. So when Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful, he's not referring to that organ in your chest that's pumping blood around your body. He is referring to the mind, the human mind. So we can restate the verse. The mind is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? The mind is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. So, since like the actual physical heart, if it cannot be repaired, you need a heart transplant. We all need a mind transplant. Did I hear an amen? Because our minds are naturally sick. All of us. So how sick is the heart? Now, have you heard the saying some people say out in the world, follow your heart, just follow your heart? Well, one author says, do not follow your heart. Follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit, especially as it is revealed through the Word of God. Amen. So it's not follow the heart. Follow your heart. Your heart will tell you what to do. No, it won't, because the Bible already tells us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked or desperately sick. So we can't trust our hearts. We can't trust our feelings. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21 tells us how sick the heart is. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. The works of this sick heart, this sick mind that human beings possess, they are very evident and obvious. What are they? Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, hostility, discord, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, disputes, rivalries, factions. Now you may say, well, I don't practice any of these things. Do you know anyone practicing witchcraft in the church? Do you? I don't. Thank God. But look at 1 Samuel 15, verse 23 with me, quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. God, the prophet Samuel, is speaking to King Saul for his disobedience. And the word of God comes very clearly that rebellion is equal to witchcraft. And we're not just talking about rebellion against the government or rebellion against... It's rebellion against God. Disobedience. The spirit of rebellion and the spirit of witchcraft is the same. Because who was the first person to rebel? Satan himself. And pride was his downfall. Many times behind rebellion is pride. It's me and my way. My way or the highway, as some people say. And notice it says stubbornness as well is as idolatry. Now you may think, well, I don't worship idols. I don't have statues in my house that I bow down to and pray to. I don't worship my bank account and my car. I live in a very humble house, that humble means. So I'm okay. I don't practice idolatry. But if you are a stubborn person, the Bible is saying here that it is the same as idolatry. Why? For the very same reason. Because it has to be done your way. These are the symptoms of a sick heart. You can see them on the screen from Galatians chapter 19 and verse, chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. In John chapter 3, a Pharisee came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. And let's pick up the story in John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man, the Bible says, of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I love Jesus for many reasons. One of the reasons I love Jesus is Jesus does not beat around the bush. He just gets straight to the point. Jesus did not even wait to see what Nicodemus wanted. What is his question? What is his problem? Nicodemus is showering Jesus with praises, flattery. And Jesus just bypasses all of that and says to Nicodemus what his problem is. He needed a new heart. He needed a whole new body, actually. He needed transformation. Now, let me tell you something about the Pharisees. There were three religious societies that existed in Judaism in the time of Jesus. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, which we know, but there was also the Essenes. The Pharisees were the most vocal and the most influential. We all know about the Pharisees. We know about the Essenes, the Sadducees a little bit. They are mentioned in the Bible. But the Pharisees take the show. The name Pharisee in its original Hebrew form means separatists or the separated ones. They were also known as the Chasidim, those who were loyal to God or those who loved God. Now, let me tell you something. Let me ask you something. Is it bad? Is it a bad thing to love God? Is it a bad thing to be known as a people who love God? Is that bad? So how did the Pharisees get this reputation that we associate them with? The problem with the Pharisees was they were so concerned with doing the right thing. They had examined the history of the kingdom of Judah and of Israel and realized that whenever the people strayed from the word of God, they fell into rebellion and the judgment of God. And so it was their desire to ensure that the sacred scriptures were adhered to. And so they devoted their lives to the careful study of scripture to ensure that every jot and every tittle is adhered to by the people. But they became the most bitter and deadly opponents of Jesus and his message, because they became so far right that they became wrong. So this is the man who came to Jesus. Someone who was focused so much on the law that they piled up laws upon laws. There were 360 laws about how to keep the Sabbath, for example. Because somebody will always ask the question, well, what about this? And what about that? And so a new law would be created. And that's why Jesus says, you bind laws upon others, but you do not keep them yourselves. They had become hypocrites. They became blind to Jesus the Messiah. They were supposed to be the sacred keepers of Scripture. And all of the prophecies that pointed to Jesus being the Messiah went right over their heads. They missed it. The lesson from the Pharisees is self-righteousness is not righteousness. And that God's true people live according to all of God's word and not just certain parts of it. And that's what Jesus had to correct with the Pharisees. They would pick and choose which laws that they felt were important and others they would ignore. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27, as was read by the scripture reading. God is saying to us, I will give you a new heart and put what? A new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You see, the Pharisees were obeying God's law in a very rigid structure. They were focusing on the minutest point of the law, but totally ignoring the spirit behind God's law. So that's why Jesus had to preach on the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, you have read that it has been said this, but I say unto you. And so, we cannot serve God with a heart of flesh, with a heart of stone. We cannot serve God with that calcified heart, that heart that has become hardened to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We cannot serve a God simply by adhering to externals out of tradition, out of external exercises without having that internal transformation. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. I mean, who was more an expert in the law? He was qualified. He kept the law. Every little dot in the law he kept. But what did Jesus say to him? You need to be born again. And you know the story. He asks, how can a man re-enter his mother's womb? But Jesus said to him, unless you are born of water and of the Spirit. Notice that word. Born of the Spirit. Yes, he was keeping the law. He was a teacher of the law. But something was missing. And that is God's Holy Spirit working in his heart. And Ezekiel says the same thing. You have a heart of stone. But I want to remove this heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh and put my Spirit in you. And then I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So if we are coming to church, if we are keeping the Sabbath, if we are returning a faithful tithe, if we are witnessing 7 days a week, but God's Holy Spirit is not working in us, we are functioning with a heart of flesh. And God wants to replace that with his Spirit. And what does that look like? We saw what the heart of stone looks like. But God wants to give us a heart that is filled with his Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it says what? The fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love, joy. Remember, we spoke about joy last year. There are too many sadventists and not enough gladventists. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace. When the Spirit of God is in you, you are a peaceful person. You seek peace and not war. Patience. Many times God makes me realize that I'm not a very patient person. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we have a heart of flesh with the Spirit of God working in us, he replaces the works of the flesh that we saw. And a heart filled with the Spirit, these fruit, they grow within us. So today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, remember that Jesus came to die for our sins. He died of a broken heart, some say. When the soldier pierced his side, blood and water poured out. And they tell us that that blood and water came from the sack that surrounded the heart of Jesus. It was filled with fluid and caused heart failure, the medical people tell us. And so, yes, he died of a broken heart. His heart was broken so that your heart can be healed. And so as we celebrate the supper, can we pray and ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit as a people, as individuals, as members of Dora Creek Church, to fill us with love, to fill us with joy, to fill us with peace, to fill us with patience, to fill us with kindness, to fill us with goodness, to fill us with faithfulness, to fill us with gentleness, and give us self-control. To pray that his Spirit will work in us and that we will have a good heart, a new heart. How many would like to say today, Lord, I want a new heart. Take away that stony heart. Take away the hard edges of my character and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of eternal life that Jesus gives to us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus suffered and died so that we do not have to suffer and die an eternal death. Lord, today we read from your word that our hearts are naturally sick. Our minds are corrupt. Our tongues are filthy, like Isaiah recognized himself. And Lord, we want that transformation from you. So we pray today that you will send an angel with a live coal from the altar of heaven. Touch our lips. Touch our hearts. Cleanse us, Lord. Forgive us. May your Holy Spirit fall upon us, Lord, as a church and individually. And may this be our prayer daily. May we, in our quiet times of prayer with you, lay ourselves bare the sins that we struggle with. May we present them to you and ask that you will take them away and fill us with your goodness, your love, and your Holy Spirit. And as we celebrate, Lord, today, as we move to the next part of our service today where we wash each other's feet, may we remember that it is a symbol of that cleansing that you have already done for us. And while we do so, we pray that we may take the opportunity silently to pray again and ask you for that cleansing. And we may rejoice in the work that you are doing in us. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. And bless your people today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.